to try and not replace, just help you through this journey, which is so painful. John, I asked some friends of yours who couldn't be here to send me an email or two. And David Hudspeth, do you know David? He was ordained here. He served as a Bible teacher here. He said, John, I know you just got a note from me, but I wanted to add a few things to my thoughts. Mostly, I just want to thank you for all you did for me and my family while we were at St. Peter's. You mentored Elizabeth and I through some stressful changes in our life. You took time to disciple me as I made this journey into the priesthood. As my own ministry as a pastor has started, I'm constantly reflecting upon the things you taught me, both by word and deed. Elizabeth and I are praying for you and your family during this time of transition. While we can't imagine St. Peter's without you, we also feel deeply convicted that God has something grand planned for you and Kristen. I pray we will stay connected with you. And then Chaplain Nathan White. How many of you remember Nathan? He was here serving, and John ministered to him in his journey to ordination. He's been in Iraq for a couple of years and just got back. John, I just wanted to take a moment to express my appreciation for what you've meant in my life and ministry. When I arrived in Birmingham and at St. Peter's, I was a new seminarian, hardly knew anyone in the area. You and St. Peter's welcomed me with open arms and helped me to get plugged into the church and local community. Over the course of the next few years, John, you were my pastor, teacher, and mentor. John preached and led Bible studies, but also invested in me more personally through sitting down with me often over coffee. Furthermore, he gave me opportunities to be involved in ministry at St. Peter's. I began to be a part of the prayer ministry at the church, which I loved. As time moved on, he allowed me to do several ministry internships, share in front of the church, and even do counseling. He hired me on a staff as a part-time chair dude. I'm not sure what that is, but it says chair dude. And all-purpose worker, so that I could help pay my way through seminary. Seems to me that you've done a lot of this, helping people through seminary and things like that, creating chair dude scholarships and things like that. John also helped immensely in my ordination process. He organized discernment committee meetings, did interviews, filled out paperwork, proctored exams, and oversaw the whole process as I was ordained to the diaconate and later to the priesthood. Put simply, if John had not invested in me as a seminarian and given me opportunities to be involved in the church and grow in my ministry skills, I would not and could not be where I am today. I am truly very grateful for the energy John invested in discipling me, as well as the opportunities he afforded me. God used him in my life to prepare me well for my ministry as an army chaplain. I thank the Lord for you, John. That was Nathan White. And finally, a young man that perhaps a few of you know. His name is Blake Johnson. He left Birmingham several months ago, and he went to the Anglican Church of the Resurrection in Washington, D.C., and he's working with the Reverend Dan Clare. And he said, sending this note to John, he said, I contacted John Richardson this time last year to seek his counsel and guidance about ordination and the Anglican mission. At this time, I was in a Presbyterian church and very unsure about where God was leading me. I was immediately impressed by John's willingness to take time with a complete stranger and to engage me pastorally. The Lord sent John's counsel and direction, and in a few weeks, I will be ordained a transitional deacon in an Anglican mission parish in Washington, D.C. John, you played a significant role in my path to ordination. Since we first met, it's been clear to me that John loves the gospel. As John has prayed for and encouraged me during my time of transition, my prayers are with John and Kristen and family, and may the Lord bless them with great opportunities to continue this witness. How grateful we are, John, for your ministry. Now, we call this a celebration Sunday. You've already had three sermons, and now I'm cutting short to an hour my sermon. Sorry. I chose Acts chapter 20 because of all the passages of Scripture over the last how many years of ministry, I have mused more about this passage of Scripture because it is specifically designed with pastors in mind. And when I first came into the Miletus Network, of which John was the founding pastor, and he invited Thad Barnum to come to Birmingham for this retreat, lo and behold, Bishop Barnum chose Acts chapter 20. And that's where we are members now of the Miletus Network. Because he called the elders from Ephesus to Miletus to talk to them. Paul was in Ephesus 3 years, not 7 years. And he did certain things in his ministry that I think you'll notice have a very real similarity with what John Richardson has done. Number one, it says that in verses 19 and 20, if you've got your Bible there, you'll find this is what Paul said. I specifically spoke to both Jew and Gentile, insisting on repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. That is the gospel. That is what a person must believe to become a person of faith. You can't enter the kingdom of God and leave the kingdom of darkness unless you have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's been John Richardson's message for 7 years. Anyone who comes through this door, he has told the people, if you want to know God, you have to know him through Jesus Christ. And you've got to have a repentant heart. You've got to say, my way's been a wrong way. Turn around and go another way, the way of God through Jesus Christ. That's what John's preached. He's proclaimed that. And some of you are here today joyfully because you heard that message from him. Secondarily, he said, I went among you from house to house, night and day with tears, pleading with you. We've just heard people saying, he's come to my house. He's invited me to his house. We've broken bread together. He meets a stranger and the next day he's on that stranger's door trying to connect. That's what the Apostle Paul did. From house to house, publicly, with tears. That's what a pastor does. That's what someone does who loves the flock of God that's been given to him. If there are no tears in a pastor's heart, he's not a real pastor. If there's no joy in a pastor's heart when he sees you growing, then he's not a real pastor. And if he can't equate himself with the sorrows of his congregation, as the Apostle Paul did, he's not a real pastor. And John Richardson has been a real pastor to you. And then thirdly, he says, and I have declared to you the whole counsel or will of God, so that no man's blood can be laid at my door, saying you never told me. I find it fascinating, brothers and sisters, that in 3 years, Paul was able to say, I've declared to you the whole counsel or will of God. The whole of it. And from what I know of John's ministry, I believe that he has declared to you the whole counsel of God. The whole will of God. the critical things that are important for a man or woman to walk with the Holy Spirit and to walk righteously. I believe he's been here as a protector of the flock, because it says, Paul said, you're going to have to protect the flock as a pastor. He's done that. So I wanted to remind you today that this is what a pastor does, and I believe with all my heart, this is what John Richardson has done. And so we celebrate you, John. We celebrate you. But I've got a couple of other things to say about this celebration. The celebration for St. Peter's didn't begin when John came 7 years ago. This celebration was actually a celebration of Jesus when some men and women joined together and said, we can't stay in the wilderness wanderings of a theological desert anymore. We got to start a new thing. Let's celebrate Jesus by starting a new congregation. That's what they did. And we celebrate Jesus as we look back about 8 years ago. I was there at Crestline Hilton, of the elementary school. And I remember coming in there, and the chairs were reversed, and there were people who were standing in the back worshiping with the music. I forget the different arrays of musicians we had, but it was clear they were celebrating Jesus. And I want to say this church began with the celebration of Jesus. And the worship team was celebrating Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they determined that it was going to be a celebration of Jesus, not of a man. So let's celebrate Jesus when they called John Richardson. Some of the men and women got together and said, we need this pastor. When I heard that John Richardson had been called, I said, who is he? I remember talking to Gene. Gene was at the church doing children's ministry. I said, well, who? He's a guy from Florida. Well, God help him. God bless him. And so up he came. And I said, well, he married? No, he's single. God help him even further. Then I heard that he had a sweetheart. And he found this beautiful woman and married. And so let's celebrate the Christian and John joined together. Let's celebrate Jesus that they were brought together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. And then let's celebrate Jesus that for 7 years, the ministry of the Holy Spirit here, the preaching and proclamation of the word, has brought fruit in your lives. Celebrate Jesus, not just John Richardson, because John has done it through the power of the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, glorifying Jesus. And I want John, if he were to stand up here, he would say, Victor, you're exactly right. Celebrate my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do as this transitional pastor. I want to start by saying, let's celebrate Jesus. Let's focus on him. Let's encourage everyone to focus on Jesus Christ, to walk with Jesus, to be empowered by Jesus, to sing Jesus' praises Sunday by Sunday. And as we meet in this congregation today, and as we go on in the future, and as John and Christian walk the path led by the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that they will celebrate Jesus every day. And we'll celebrate with them some months down the road when the news will come. They've got a new ministry and a new place to serve. And they'll be under the power and influence of Jesus. And we'll all rejoice. This is the message of today. We're celebrating John and Kristen and their families, Witt and Dow and Madison. But what we ultimately must do is celebrate Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.